Lecture topic, the effects of love.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wassalatu wassalamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاث من كن فيه وجد حلاوة الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama kiram, brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala's infinite mercy upon us. Allah Ta'ala blessed us with this greatest wealth of Iman. Allah Ta'ala has gathered us for this few minutes to remember Him. And really this is what is worth, that we turn to Allah Ta'ala, we remember Allah Ta'ala, and we devote ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. This is what's going to be of benefit to us in dunya also. And this is what's going to be beneficial for us in getting to the eternal Jannah that Allah Ta'ala has prepared for the pious servants. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was recited, this is narrated by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the three aspects. If these three aspects are attained by any person, then by virtue of attaining these three aspects, what he will gain is halawatul iman. He will gain halawa. Already the word might be sounding familiar even if you don't know the Arabic language, that halawa is very close to halwa. Halwa is something very sweet. So this is what exactly it is, the sweetness of iman. Now the sweetness of iman, the very word sweetness, every person is looking for some sweetness in his life. The very word sweetness makes a person feel something good. Talk about the word sour, it already makes a person cringe somewhat. Say bitter, then he feels very uncomfortable. Just merely hearing the word makes him feel somewhat uneasy. And likewise, just the word sweet makes a person feel something comfortable, something good. Imagine when he tastes something sweet. Just the word makes him feel something good. So now something very sweet was put onto his tongue. And depending of how sweet it was, then sometimes that sweetness permeates almost every fiber in his body. He feels that sweetness now taking over him. One is the sweetness of a physical sense. And then in every other dimension, sometimes sweetness in some figurative ways. But when there's some sweetness of some sort, then that is what now a person feels very good about, and this is what we are all the time trying to search for it somewhere. We're trying to search in some way or the other to sweeten our lives. And by and large, generally, the dunya, people of dunya are trying to sweeten their lives with dunya. So now somebody is trying to sweeten his life with some material possessions. Somebody is trying to sweeten his life with some exotic holiday maybe. Somebody is trying to sweeten his life with what kind of location he can now build something very magnificent on. And all kinds of things are used to sweeten our, or try to sweeten our lives with these things. But it can only be sweetened with that which Allah Ta'ala has placed that sweetness in it. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spelt it out for us, that we're looking for this sweetness, this very word, halawatul iman. This is giving us the very clear message that iman also has a sweetness. And when this sweetness of iman comes in the life of a person, Iman is right in the heart. All these other things are external. Whether it is good food, it's external. And it goes into the stomach. So sometimes despite being the best food that he can buy, the most delicious food available, but sometimes he's eating it tasteless. What happened? Why is it tasteless? Because his mind is overcome with some worries. He is now in some grief. So despite that food being excellent, but he's still tasteless. Sometimes he eats that wonderful food, it's gone into his stomach, and now he's suffering from some kind of stomach pain, something went wrong, or that food was not supposed to be for him to consume because of some complications he has. Or whereas that food, mashallah, was excellent, but it's not agreeing with him. So now that food is external, whether it is that scenery, it's external, whether it is the clothing the person is trying to sweeten his life with the brand labels, that's all external. Whether it is the kind of car that the person drives, it's external. All these things are external. And the real place of that happiness and sweetness is in the heart. And Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving us the prescription. Attain these three things, you'll gain halawat of iman. So where the iman is, that's where the halawat will be. The place of iman is the heart. So that halawat and sweetness will be in the heart. And when the heart is sweetened, then everything is sweet. Sometimes a person is in a very simple structure. He's got no luxuries of any sort. But something, whatever, he's so elated about whatever has transpired, or somebody has come who he has seen after years and he's very, very happy about that person's coming. He's eating some simple food. He is seated in a very simple dwelling. But he is brimming with joy. What happened? Something came to his heart. This very sight of that friend of his, that visit of the person who he loves so much, that sweetened his heart for that moment. All these things meant nothing to him. That what kind of simple food he's eating, or what kind of hut he's staying in, or that he doesn't even have any decent bedding to sleep on, he is brimming with joy. What we understand clearly from this is that happiness is in the heart. And if there is happiness in the heart, then the person will appreciate the external ni'mats also. If there's happiness in the heart, that sweetness in the heart, then he'll find the sweetness in the things around him too. The halal ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has provided him. But if that heart is devoid of that sweetness, then all these things can't sweeten anything. So in this, we have been given this message that just as we understand sweetness in, for example, some sweet dish, something very sweet that the person bites on, iman has its own sweetness. Now, what is the sweetness of iman? So some scholars explain it to be something more on the figurative side of it, but not just something figurative, something in the mind, something which is experienced also. Number one, they say this refers to istilzazu ta'at. When this halawat of iman comes in, and it's attained by the three things that we will inshallah discuss just now, then what will be the outcome? The outcome will be istilzazu ta'at. This person will start enjoying the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Without this, he might still fulfill what is required of him, but many a times it will be like a burden. Sometimes it will just be to get done with so that I don't get into trouble. And when this halawat of iman comes in the heart, he will be yearning for it. One person is just dragging himself to the masjid for fajr, and another person is yearning for the masjid for fajr. Worlds apart. There was a very great scholar, Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi. So he mentioned one couplet. Now, we talking about fajr, he's talking about before fajr. He's talking about tahajjud. So he's talking about what the true lovers of Allah Ta'ala, how they yearn for tahajjud. So he's explaining it in one couplet. He says, Wada aane ka shabe akhir mein hai, subah se intizare sham hai. He says that the appointed time of the meeting is in the last part of the night. Now the person has got an appointment to meet the beloved in the last part of the night. But now he can't wait for the last part of the night to come. person is waiting now for something really exciting in his life. So now he can't wait for the day to come. Somebody's nikah is now, just the day is not coming, the date is fixed, but it seems like it's taking forever. So now here he's talking about the meeting with none other than Rabbul Alameen. He's talking about standing in front of Allah Ta'ala and communicating with one's creator and sustainer. So now that is when the actual time of tahajjud is the last one third of the night. So now that is the time of tahajjud, but that sweetness of tahajjud is such, and that enjoyment in talking to Allah Ta'ala at that time is such, from the morning he's waiting when this day will pass. And when the night comes, still so many hours for the night to go till the last one third of the night. It's taking too long. He's yearning to wake up for tahajjud. So one is that person who's gained this halawat of iman. He's yearning to wake up for tahajjud. And somebody who is lacking it, he's battling to wake up for fajr. Now worlds apart this is. What it means? It means we have to make an effort to get this halawat of iman. Because then this will drive a person. Now he's having to pull himself. He's having to drag himself. But when this comes in his heart, he'll be driven. These are two separate things completely. Now this is what is being referred to as halawat of iman. Istilzazu ta'at. Now he will recite Quran Sharif. He'll be looking, what happened? Where the time went? How the time went? Now I have to stop because I got other responsibilities to attend to. And if this halawat of iman is missing, then sometimes somebody may ask him that when last or how much Quran Sharif you recite. He says, well, Ramadan now, it's not too far away. It's just about 2.5 months. That was the last time. So 2.5 months now, he didn't touch the Quran Sharif. The halawat of iman is there. Now he can't wait for the next opportunity. And when he is busy reciting, it suddenly seems the time went away. How quickly the time went. I still wanted to recite more. When the halawat of iman is there, now he gets enjoyment in remembering Allah Ta'ala, taking the name of Allah Ta'ala, in reciting Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and all the tasbihat and azkar, whatever opportunity he has, this gives him tremendous joy. Each time he's reciting Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, he's feeling something in his heart is filling up. This is boosting his spirits. But when that halawat of iman has come now, he'll enjoy this. And when that is lacking, then he'll have time for social media. He'll have time for hours, screen time running in hours. Tilawat time, zero. Zikr time, zero. And just say, I got no time. No time for anything, no time for tilawat, no time for zikr, no time for dua and begging from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But screen time is running in the hours. So now this is that difference that halawat of iman will make in his life. That when the sweetness of iman comes in the heart, it changes everything. So he'll start enjoying his a'mal, his ibadat. Then, number two, they explain that this halawat of iman means tahammulul mashaq fi mardatillah. He will be happy to undertake any difficulty to please Allah Ta'ala. Any challenge that might come in the way. One is he is being driven, mashallah, to do what is being required to be done. Alhamdulillah, that is the best. But if for any reason that is not yet there, there's some difficulty in undertaking something, it doesn't matter. Whatever difficulty, whether from within or whether external, but I will do what will please my Allah. I will do what it takes to earn the pleasure of my Allah, to get closer to Him. So now this becomes the zeal. This is also part of this halawat of iman. That he will be ready to undertake any difficulty for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it is financially to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala, whether it is physically to do something for the khidmat of deen, whether it is in fulfilling the obligations of deen, whatever it might be, he is ready to undertake any difficulty for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And the third aspect that وَإِثَارُ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَىٰ عَرَضِ الدُّنْيَا, he will give preference to taking even the difficulty upon himself. He will do it regardless of what worldly temptations come in front of him or anything of the material rewards that might be offered to him. Nothing can take him away from his iman, from his amal. Nobody can come and become a an obstacle in the way. His zeal is to do that which will please Allah. And that will become his purpose in life. And that is our purpose in life. Our purpose in life, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah must become pleased with us. Whatever we do, Allah must become pleased with us. So if a person is Fajr time, Allah will be pleased that he is in the masjid for Fajr. So he'll do what Allah is pleased with. If it is Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, that is what's going to please my Allah. If it is he's walking on the street, and now he's tempted to look in some direction, or he's sitting in privacy in his home somewhere, and that phone is tempting him, or whatever it might be, what is going to please my Allah? So what is going to please my Allah? So what is going to please my Allah is I must lower my gaze. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. So yes, there's a very strong temptation. The urge to look in the wrong direction is very strong. And all this is dragging me. But this is what's going to bring halawat of iman. As mentioned in the hadith of Qudsi, where Allah Ta'ala says, النَّظَرُ سَهْمٌ مِّنْ سِهَامِ إِبْلِيسَ مَسْمُومٌ. That this haram glance, looking at any filth, looking at haram, looking at na-mahrams, looking at women around, whatever it might be, any haram glance, this is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. One is an arrow. Arrow is already detrimental enough or can be fatal. But sometimes an arrow might maybe just end up scratching the person and it missed him, but it just touched him. But it touched him now, so it didn't do any damage. So now previously in the olden days, they would sometimes, when they want to make sure they get what they want, so they would dip the tip of that arrow in very, very potent poison. So now if that arrow didn't pierce the person, didn't really injure him, but it touched him, that poison will kill him. Now that is that comparison that is being made, the tashbih, the similarity, that this haram glance is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. And then Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ تَرَكَهَا مَخَافَتِي. The one who will forsake it, for what? Because his wife is watching, because maybe parents are suddenly keeping track, because of anything else? No, no, not for any other reason. Because Allah is watching. Allah is aware. مَنْ تَرَكَهَا مَخَافَتِي. Allah says, the one who leaves it out of my fear. Meaning he's afraid that Allah mustn't become displeased with him. Because if Allah becomes displeased with us, then nobody can help us. And if Allah is pleased with us, nobody can harm us. So now, مَنْ تَرَكَهَا مَخَافَتِي أَبْدَلْتُ بِهَا إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. The same aspect that we are discussing in this hadith, Allah Ta'ala says, hadith Qudsi, that the person who forsakes this haram glance for my pleasure, out of my fear, I will in replacement of that give him such iman that he will taste the sweetness of it in his heart. He will taste it. Now this tasting of it, one is these explanations that we gave, but other scholars say that this is all in its place. This goes without saying. It is this and more. And what's more? See, when a person eats something sweet, so when he eats something sweet, he doesn't only think about it that this is sweet. Nobody will tell him anything about it being sweet. He feels the sweetness of it. He experiences it. It's a physical experience. They say sweetness of iman is also a physical experience. Now somebody says, but how do you experience something physical from something you're not going to be touching it, you're not going to feel it, you're not going to taste it, we use our five senses to experience something. We get the fragrance by smelling something, we touch something, we feel something about it. You can't touch iman, you can't feel iman in this manner, you can't taste iman with your tongue physically. So how are you going to have a physical experience of this? So there is one couplet which is quoted on such occasions, that is, أَلَمْ تَرَ الْهِلَالَ فَسَلِّمْ لِأُنَاسٍ رَأَوْهُ بِالْأَبْصَارِ. Now there are sometimes 1,000 people standing out there looking for the moon, for the Eid moon, but then one person sometimes sees it, it's a clear sky. One person saw it, two people saw it. So now the 2-3 people saw it. So everybody celebrates Eid because they trust on these 2-3 people. It's a clear sky. The one person saw it too. They trust on him. And because he has that integrity, they say, mashallah, he's seen it. Everybody enjoys Eid. Now somebody says, till I don't see it with my eyes, I will not celebrate Eid. Maybe every year he won't celebrate Eid. Because when he's going to end up seeing it? So now the point is, if somebody hasn't seen the moon, then he must trust on somebody who has seen it. So likewise, this is something which is being told to us by those who tasted it. We can't figure out how it's tasted. We'll have to trust in them. Yes, it's tasted. It's experienced physically. It's a physical experience like a person has physical experiences of anything else. So this is the halawat of Iman. So what we understand from this is, Iman is not something dry, something just going through the motions, something just carrying out some routine. Iman, the halawat of Iman, the sweetness of Iman, it infuses the soul in this Iman. This is what binds a person to his Rabb. One is the words. Mashallah, the conviction is there. Person has Iman, the conviction is in his heart. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, and all the articles of faith. He has the conviction, alhamdulillah, his Iman is intact. But one is the halawat of Iman. These are two totally separate things. There's an approved plan, mansion and all the details of that plan, stamped and approved, is all authorized, everything. It has the whole detail on it, how many rooms and what facilities and what luxuries and what comfort. But now the person got this whole plan, so he's there, it's approved. But for the night, where he's going to spend the night? On the plan? He doesn't yet have a shelter over his head, but he's got the plan. Now this is not exactly this example, but without that halawat of Iman, alhamdulillah, that conviction is there, but we're not going to get the full benefit of it now. The eventual benefit will come to every mu'min. The eventual benefit is that that Iman will certainly take him to Jannah. He left this world with Iman. That is the greatest bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Iman will take him to Jannah eventually. Even if Allah forbid he had to go through the cleansing process of Jahannam. But now we want that full blessings of Allah ta'ala. We want that pleasure of Allah ta'ala. We don't want to go through via anywhere else to Jannah. We want to go straight to Jannah. We want Allah ta'ala to be pleased with us. We will have to develop the Iman to the point where halawat of Iman comes. Allah ta'ala's muhabba comes in the heart. So any case, the three things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that these three things is attained. If the person attains these three things, then he'll attain halawat of Iman. Now what are the three aspects? The first aspect, أَيَّكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam must become more beloved to him than anyone and everyone else and everything else. Now this is the prescription number one for gaining this halawat of Iman. Allah ta'ala must become more beloved to us and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam must become more beloved to us than anyone and everyone and anything and everything. Now how will we gauge what love is more, which love is more intense? So where do we turn when we are at the crossroads? On the one side is a command of Allah ta'ala, on the other side is the dictates of the nafs, is the temptation of shaitan. So now where do we go? Which direction we take? Do we suppress that nafs? Do we defy shaitan and turn to Allah ta'ala? Then alhamdulillah, the love of Allah ta'ala is greater. And if it's the other way around, then our nafs, that love of the nafs is more. Somebody is telling us do this, but the command of Allah is telling us do something else. Where do we turn to? So the love of Allah ta'ala must become more greater. Now this is a detailed topic on its own, but very briefly to just touch on this, one pious person was asked that this love of Allah ta'ala, love of Allah ta'ala, what is this? And how does a person kindle this love of Allah ta'ala? So he gave him an example. He said, if there's a fire that has now sort of died down, but there is still some spark in between, there's some, you can see something still red under, so how are you going to bring it up again? How you are going to bring that flame alive? How you are going to once again bring that fire up? So he said, I will fan it. I will fan it, and fanning it will eventually, suddenly you'll see that flame come up. He said, well, that's exactly the point. Alhamdulillah, the fact that a person has iman, every mu'min has the love of Allah in his heart. If there's no iota of love of Allah Ta'ala, there won't be iman. The fact that a person has iman, that is itself testimony to him having the love of Allah in his heart. But unfortunately sometimes, that love of Allah Ta'ala has, because of what we expose ourselves to, that has become very, very weak. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif regarding the true believers, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They have greater love for Allah Ta'ala. There are other things they love as well. Allah has made it such. Allah has made it such that insan has attachments around him. But when those attachments, whether it is with his parents, with his children, with his spouse, with the things Allah has blessed him with, the halal ni'mats, his human nature, he's attached to it. But those attachments will be dominated by the love of Allah Ta'ala. And when it comes to a situation where he has to choose, he'll choose that which will please Allah Ta'ala. If he has to make some sacrifice, he'll make the sacrifice. But he'll do that which will please Allah Ta'ala. So now, this fanning that, unfortunately, because of what we get exposed to, it dies down, the flame dies down. So now that flame dies down, it's still there inside somewhere, but somebody sitting close by also can't get the heat of it. He's sitting right there, but he can't feel it. It goes so deep down inside. And if it's a roaring fire, then from a distance also you can feel the heat. They say you put that fireplace on, the whole house warms up. Whereas it's in one corner somewhere. But because it's a fire, there's a live fire there. So likewise, to fan this, fan it with what? So now there's a two-way thing. When that mahabba is now at a very low ebb, one has to push himself and fan it with a'mal. And when he will fan it with a'mal, then that mahabba will come up. Then that mahabba will drive him towards a'mal. So he will first start off by pushing himself. He's not even feeling to make that effort. He has to push himself, really put pressure on his nafs. But initially that's how it starts. But when he's consistently making that effort, then inshallah the day will come. Now he's pushing himself, he will be eventually pushed along. He'll be driven along. That mahabba will drive him. So what is going to fan this flame of mahabba of Allah Ta'ala? So there are many, many things, but just to briefly touch on a few aspects. Number one, the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Obviously, at the top of the list is, there cannot be any fanning of it without fulfilling the obligations of Allah Ta'ala. The do's and the don'ts. Fulfilling the do's, refraining from the don'ts. That is the foundation of it all. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. In the Hadith Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says, what brings my servant closer to me? Nothing more than what I have made farz upon him. Farz, there's do's also. And just as it's farz to perform salah, and to give zakat, and to fast, and perform hajj, it is farz to stay away from haram. It is also farz to stay away from haram, to stay away from sin, from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Then together with that, tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Now this must be part and parcel of our life. And the Ahlullah state that there is nothing more effective in fanning this muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala than tilawat with tadabbur, with contemplation. Allah has blessed somebody with that ability that he understands the meaning of the Quran Sharif, to recite the Quran Sharif daily with tadabbur, with contemplation. And if not, then at least tilawat must carry on. Daily tilawat. Some portion of the Quran Sharif you must recite daily. That must never be missed. Number two, the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Daily some dedicated time. As we mentioned earlier, just look at the screen time and we'll see how much time we have. Just look at the screen time and we'll realize how much of time we have. Because hours are going away in that, but we couldn't take out 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes for tilawat of the Quran Sharif, for some zikr, for tasbihat, for recitation of Durud Sharif. So daily some zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Man ahabba shay'an akthara zikrahu. When a person loves something greatly, he'll talk much about it. You'll find some people can't stop talking about their car. Somebody can't stop talking about their business. No matter what it will be, something or the other will come around in that. If somebody talks about anything unrelated, he'll find a way to relate it back to what his passion is. And he'll bring it to that subject. So now, when a person loves something greatly, he talks much about it. We want to inculcate the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, remember him excessively. That will bring Allah's muhabbat. And this is the command Allah has given us in the Quran Sharif, Udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember Allah in abundance. Abundant dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Number three, bring alive the sunnah in our lives. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. There are so many simple sunnahs, day-to-day things. Doesn't take any effort, doesn't take any time, doesn't cost anything, and it's going to be done in any case, one way or the other, but because of the lack of just consciousness, we don't fulfill it in a sunnah manner. And we deprive ourselves of so much of reward. Day-to-day things, when a person is wearing his clothes, what he starts off with, what he then, when he's removing his shoes, starting off with the left, wearing it, starting with the right. Now, such a simple thing, but with the consciousness of what is sunnah, not just as a routine, doesn't even realize at that time what I did, consciously fulfilling this. Person from childhood now, his parents trained him now, always eat with the right hand. So he eats with the right hand. Automatically eats with the right hand. Something comes up in front of him to eat, his right hand moves forward. But to do it now consciously, this is the sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That one second, that thought in the mind, this is the sunnah. Entering the masjid with the right foot, this is the sunnah. Leaving with the left foot, this is the sunnah. Now like this, some beautiful kitabs are available daily to learn one, two sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam from there. Learn one sunnah more for the week. But to inculcate more and more sunnah in our lives, this is the promise of Allah Ta'ala. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Then another aspect that is a very effective matter is the nawafil. At least some nafil. Farais, there's no question of missing a farz. And alongside comes the wajib, sunnat-e-mu'akkada. Then sunnat-e-mu'akkada, we sometimes then say, well, sunnat-e-ghair-mu'akkada, what is the meaning of sunnat-e-ghair-mu'akkada? So the four sunnats before Isha, ghair-mu'akkad. The four sunnats before Asr, ghair-mu'akkad. So what does ghair-mu'akkada mean in our mind? Our terminology. Our terminology means, in our terminology, ghair-mu'akkada means don't read it. So therefore, sometimes a person say, I don't know when last I made the four sunnahs before Isha. I can't remember. The four sunnahs before Asr, I can't remember when last I made it. Meaning, even if I had the chance to do it too, one is now I came, there was 1 minute left, whatever. If I came in good time too, I sat and spoke something outside. I came without, in time just for the farz, though I had the opportunity. Why? Because our mind, the soul is ghair muakkada now, so leave it. Whereas why is it called ghair muakkada? Who did this action for it to gain this categorization that it is sunnah? The fuqaha, for our ease and for the understanding of things in its proper place and position, they categorized it in all this manner. Otherwise it's whose sunnah? Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all this comes under the category of the nawafil. In the Hadith-e-Qudsi, what part of it we just discussed just now, Allah Ta'ala then says, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. Now a person whose zeal is that I want to get closer to my Allah. A person wants to get closer to somebody, and Allah forbid, people who want to get closer in a haram way, they know this better than everybody. They practice on this more than everyone. Allah save us and save everybody. That they want to get closer to somebody, then they do what not it takes. They do sometimes absurd things. They put their lives in danger sometimes. And they spend money that they don't even own. They're borrowing just to buy something very expensive to just earn somebody's love. That to the haram love. So now for that haram love, a person is doing what he can, why he wants to get closer. Subhanallah, for the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the opportunities sometimes are right there. It's so easy. Nothing to, no effort involved. But something is missing. Now to make this propel us, I want to get closer to Allah ta'ala. And I want to get closer to Allah ta'ala on the foundation of the farais. Farais in place. And the farz, as explained, it's farz to fulfill whatever Allah ordered us. Also farz to stay away from haram. On the foundation of the farais, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. My servant continues to get closer and closer to me through the nawafil. Nawafil is not, doesn't mean don't ever do it. Because if sunnat mu'akkad, ghair mu'akkada means for us don't do it, then nafil for us will mean don't ever do it. Whereas nafil is nafil because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. And he explained the virtues of it. And such great virtues for so many nawafil. The two rakats of Ishraq, two rakats also. In the riwayat of Tirmizi Sharif, after the sun has risen well, and a person makes two rakats, then he gets the reward of a complete Hajj and Umrah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for emphasis three times, he says, Tammatan, Tammatan. A complete meaning, a perfect. Now a person, mashallah, goes for Hajj, goes for Umrah, makes the effort to do it right, get it done best. But despite the best effort too, we are so weak, we still err so many places. And here he's getting the reward of a perfect Hajj and Umrah for those two rakats. Now, one is, person now is waking up, he has to leave early, he's on the road, he's going to work. But how often it happens that a person has full opportunity for it. There is nothing that is in the way. Person is free at that time, he's doing nothing, he's awake. It's nafil. So it's nafil, so now. So it's nafil, so we deprived ourselves of such a great reward. And the biggest aspect was, what is this reward? The biggest aspect was, this is a means of taqarrub ilallah. It's a means of getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. Now that zeal that I want to get closer to my Allah, and there's an opportunity, and such a great opportunity, to make two rakats. I got this chance now, I'm in the masjid, there's another 3 minutes left for the salah to commence, 2 minutes left, so I don't have enough time now, 2 minutes, maybe two rakats also, I won't make it in time. So, let me make some tilawat, let me make some istighfar, some tasbih, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. One hadith says, it's afdalu dhikr, the most virtuous of all the askar. Subhanallah, tamla'ul mizan, that subhanallah said with a pure heart, will fill the scales of deeds on the day of Qiyamah. So now this is also a means of taqarrub ilallah, to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Every tasbih, every takbir, every amal of deen, making salam at somebody. Now sometimes we pass somebody, he's entering the masjid, we're entering the masjid, or when we're leaving. So now we know him, mashallah, assalamu alaikum, how are you, etc. And we don't know him, we go our way, he goes his way. And what we lost out on? We lost out on this very great sunnah of salam. And every sunnah takes us closer to Allah Ta'ala. Taqarrub ilallah we lost out. We lost out on all the virtues of salam. We lost out on what this mahabbah it creates. This is something mentioned in the Quran Sharif. The virtue of salam. إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. You enter your home, enter with, the Quran Sharif is teaching us. You enter your home, enter with salam. This is a pure greeting from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Full of barakah. Now a person deprives himself of that barakah. He enters his home. No salam. Sometimes he enters his home grumbling already. Because something happened in the day. So now he says, well, I need to offload somewhere. So now somebody else made a problem for him and somebody else must catch it. Who made the problem for it? And people at home must catch it. So now before he walks into the house, they also have to all be now on, walking on eggshells, and everybody is reading, Ya Rabbi, Sallim, Sallim. Like now they're crossing the pool sirat. Allah ta'ala may khifazat, Allah ta'ala may khair. What's going to happen? So now, this is not the way that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. The Quran Sharif is teaching us, enter the home, the khaltum buyutan fasallimu ala anfusikum. Make salam. And the salam will bring barakah in the home. It'll bring blessings. It'll bring that mahabba. It will unite the hearts. Awala adullukum ala shay'in idha fa'altumuhu tahababtum afshu salama baynakum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you want to bring that mahabba, make salam common. So now every amal, all the virtues that have been mentioned is to drive us towards his amal, and every amal is a means of taqarrub ilallah. Smiling at a person with ikhlas for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala is a means of taqarrub ilallah. Helping a person in some difficulty, some need, taking care of all these small things sometimes, picking up some dirt that was fallen somewhere, imatatul adha anit tariq, removing something that will inconvenience someone from the path. This is a branch of iman. So all these things are means of taqarrub ilallah. And the person who wants to get closer to Allah ta'ala, then he will regard all these opportunities as golden opportunities. Because Allah has declared, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أَحْبَبْتُهُ. And when he goes on in this manner, he comes to the point where Allah says, I love him. Subhanallah. Our entire effort is to become the lovers of Allah ta'ala. And Allah is saying, he goes on getting closer to me on the foundation of the faraiz. He starts building the nawafil to the point that I then make him my beloved. Subhanallah. Allah ta'ala make us such. So this is the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These are the things that inculcate the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala, to ponder over Allah's ni'mats and favors, countless bounties of Allah ta'ala, to sit down and ponder, give it dedicated time. Allah ta'ala bless me with iman, alhamdulillah. Allah ta'ala bless me with the Quran Sharif, alhamdulillah. So many bounties related to iman, saying deeply alhamdulillah, our physical bounties and ni'mats, the things around us, the family Allah has blessed us with. Think of one thing and say alhamdulillah deeply from the heart. All this inculcates and enhances the mahabbat of Allah ta'ala. So in any case, in this hadith sharif, three things that are mentioned. One is, أَيَّكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. Allah and Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam become more beloved to him. There's no time to go into the further details. The second aspect, that a person loves somebody too, he loves the person for Allah alone. His mahabba with people, وَيُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. That his attachment with people around too is governed by the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala. There is no worldly motive in it, and definitely no haram motive in it. It's a pure mahabba for the pleasure of Allah alone. And then the last aspect, that he detests being thrown into the fire, he detests going back into kufr, or going into kufr, like he detests being thrown into fire. That a person, his iman will be of such value to him, that he will guard it very jealously. He will not take chances with his iman, because he's very concerned. Allah forbid, if this iman slips, then this is doom and destruction forever. So like a person, if there's a huge inferno somewhere, then he says, don't even go near. You don't know what sparks might fly out of it. Walk very far away from it. Don't go anywhere near, because that heat can be felt from a mile. So don't go anywhere near, don't go to spectate it also. So likewise, the person who has that value of iman in his heart, he will detest going anything close to whatever influences of kufr they are. Kufr itself is a faraway thing. Anything that is associated with kufr and shirk, and anything associated from where it came from, the kuffar and mushrikeen, and the Yahud and Nasara, he will want nothing to do with it. Because all this can jeopardize his iman someday, Allah forbid. And then under this, one is kufr, that's the worst and most detested thing. But then on a lower level, but very serious as well, is sin. All the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Just as he detests going towards kufr, like he detests going into fire, the same applies in the matter of sin. That he detests going towards sin. One is part of insan, this human nature, that he gets tempted, he finds this urge to commit this and that. But this is the aspect that he will suppress. that involuntary temptation that he feels, the involuntary urge that he experiences is not a sin. That is not a sin. But acting upon that is a sin. And suppressing that is what is called mujahada. And that mujahada is وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Allah loves that. That sacrificing those haram desires, when he goes on sacrificing it, our Shaykh Hazrat Chaki Makhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to explain this in an example. When a person sacrifices, now we're blessed with the opportunity of qurbani, so we sacrifice that animal, we see the blood spilt. The whole place becomes red around it. So a person who keeps sacrificing and slaughtering the haram desires, so each time that he's sacrificing this haram desire, he's reddening his heart with the blood of that haram desire, because he spilled the blood of that haram desire. But now when you see the horizon, when the horizon early in the morning turns red, so now that means that very soon the sun is going to rise. And shortly after, you see the sun rising, but first the horizon turns red. After the horizon turns red, then the sun rises. See, likewise, when we redden the horizon of our hearts with the blood of the haram desires, by repeatedly sacrificing those haram desires, slaughtering them, and when the blood of the haram desires have reddened the horizon of the heart, that is now thereafter the sun of the ma'rifat of Allah will rise. The sun of the ma'rifat and the recognition of Allah Ta'ala will rise in that heart. And that heart will be infused with the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. So now this is the most crucial aspect to remove ourselves from that haram, to stop the sin. And the most effective thing in this regard is to adopt the right company. This will bring the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. This will bring the detestation of haram. This will bring the himmat and courage. The association with the pious, it creates himmat, courage, to undertake what's to be done, to refrain from what needs to be refrained from. That himmat, that courage comes. This is that benefit that comes out of it. And by associating with the pious, this taqwa is then from heart to heart, it's transferred. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. So one is this, the right association, the right company, staying away from haram environments, staying away from company that is not conducive to our iman. That is extremely important. And together with that, we have to then keep fanning this iman with all these amal. Just to finish off on this, that this is the most important thing, that we stay away from sin. Many a person feels that now, but how do I get past this? So one prescription of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh, one person came to him, very great pious personality, once upon a time the king of Balkh, he forsook all that for the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. So now this person came to him and said, I am in this sin that I am caught up in so deeply, how do I come out of it? So he said, well, I have a prescription for you if you're ready to do it. He says, please tell me. So he said, okay, number one, whenever you want to sin, then first stop eating the food of Allah Ta'ala, the rizq from Allah Ta'ala. Stop that. Say, but how can I survive then? And everything is from Allah Ta'ala. If I stop eating, I can't go find something else that somebody else will provide. Everything is from Allah Ta'ala. So how can I survive if I stop eating? And there is nothing else but what Allah provides. So he said, well, don't you think that it doesn't behove of a person eating Allah's rizq and disobeying Allah Ta'ala? Does it behove of a person to do this? That he's eating Allah's ni'mats and then gaining the energy from Allah's ni'mats and using the energy that he got from Allah's ni'mats to break Allah's command. It's like a person gives somebody something as a gift, whatever. So he takes that and he gave him a nice knife maybe, so that he'll use it for something beneficial. He takes a knife and stabs the giver. So Allah's ni'mats, Allah is not in need of us, and Allah Ta'ala is independent of us, but does it behove of us to eat Allah's ni'mats? Think about this then. Think not just as a thought, ponder over it. Let it sink deep down in the heart. When that temptation comes to look at something haram, then stop and think, I'm able to open this eye because I've been eating nourishing food. But if I didn't get food to eat for a few days, I won't even be able to open the eye. So now this eye is opening because Allah Ta'ala has provided that nourishment for me. Now I'm going to open it towards haram. Am I going to look at what Allah has forbidden? He says, okay, then the second thing. Second thing is that if you still want to commit sin, that also doesn't stop you, then don't do it on Allah's land. Go somewhere else. He says, but everywhere is Allah's land. And everything between the heavens and earth is belonging to Allah Ta'ala. And the entire universe is Allah Ta'ala's. Where else can I go? He says, does it behove of a person standing on Allah's land and disobeying Allah Ta'ala? Many a father might have said to his son, my roof, my rules. And you can't keep up to that. You're not prepared to abide by that. Then take a walk. Go do something else. Not under my roof. Under my roof, my rules. So this is Allah's roof, Allah's floor, Allah's universe. And we say we'll do what we want to do. Now, it's not just something to just think about very, very casually, to ponder over it. That this piece of land that I want to stand and commit sin on, whose land is this? And the sky that is the roof above me, whose roof is this? Who's providing this oxygen that I'm breathing right now? How can I sin now with all this? He said, okay, number three is that if you still don't stop with that also, then at least this much, that go and commit the sin somewhere where Allah Ta'ala won't see you. Allah Ta'ala won't see you. Allah Ta'ala won't see me. How can that ever be possible that I find such a place? Allah won't see me. Allah sees everything. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ مَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the deception of the eye, what the heart conceals also Allah knows. Where can I ever hide from Allah Ta'ala? Says, does it behove of a person who is aware Allah is watching and then still sin? Person, can he sin in front of his parents who are watching? Will he watch that filth in front of his wife? Allah forbid, if haya goes, people do that too. When haya gets destroyed, then a person does that also. But then he only now has got one weapon after that. You do it, dare tell anybody, you'll get talaq. Now she's wondering, what do I do now with my half a dozen children? Where do I go? So now I go to save this marriage, but now how do I live with this? Now she is like between a rock and a hard place, as they call it. She is like in a jahannam of a sort, that she doesn't want to be here and she can't afford doing anything else. She has to just stick it around because now where does she go with her children, etc.? Now this is the kind of situation when haya is lost. When that haya is killed in the heart, then faf'al ma shi'ta. Then a person does as he pleases, doesn't bother. But this is not, everything doesn't just carry on. This is dunya and things catch up. And then akhirat is coming. We have our qabr. We have the day of qiyamah to face. We have to answer the day of qiyamah. So in any case, he said, when if there is no place you can hide from Allah Ta'ala, then think about this carefully. He says, and then what next? He says, the fourth thing is that if all this doesn't stop you, sooner or later the angel of death is going to come to take your soul. And he may come any time. So when the angel of death comes, all you tell him is that, look, I'm not coming now. I still got some, now to sort out some issues. I'm going to now start making ibadat very sincerely, make tawbah. You come later. Says the angel of death, don't wait for anybody. The angel of death is not going to take anybody's request. He will take the soul out at the appointed moment, no matter what a person may plead and what he may say and what he may do. Says, well, if that is the case, that when the time comes and suddenly Malakul Maut is there, you are not going to have any respite. So can you afford to be involved in haram? What if that sin now, that is the last action of your life? Is that is how you want to meet Allah? Is that is how you want to leave this dunya with maybe music still stuck in your ears through that earpiece? Is this is how you want to, the last thing you did was watch some haram and fell asleep with that? The last thing was some haram chat? The last thing was some other evil and vice? Once one person in Durban who is involved in burials and so on, so he was sitting in the corner of the masjid, very, very sad, just looking very dejected. Somebody who knew him, saw him and realized something is not right. So he went up to him and said, something's not right, what's your problem? He said, no, don't worry. He said, no, something is troubling you. He says, today I had to go, I was called to come and take a janazah the janazah, the person pulled the one arm, bended and collapsed on it, and he passed away in a casino. I had to go and fetch the body from there. He says, this is now weighing so heavily on me. This was this person's last action in life. And now his ruh came out in this condition. So this is the fourth thing, that think about it, that what happens if this is my last moment in life? And then the fifth thing he says, that on the day of Qiyamah, when the angels will come to drag you towards Jahannam for all of your sins, then say to them, I'm not coming. He says, can anybody ever avoid that? If the angels, they're not going to ask him also. They're going to take him without any of his permission and against his will. So, well, if that is the case, then prepare for that moment from now. Make sincere tawbah, turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, beg Allah's forgiveness, put your life in order, so that when that moment comes, when Malakul Maut arrives, then you also hear that declaration, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'innah, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati, that you go to Allah ta'ala in a condition, Allah is pleased with you are pleased with Allah. So this is the path that we have to adopt to get to Allah ta'ala. Our life, Allah knows best how much we got left. All the things of dunya will carry on. Our purpose in life is to please our Allah. That is our object in life, to get closer to Allah ta'ala. For that, all the efforts of deen is all to take us to the same objective. To take us towards Allah ta'ala, to take us closer to Allah ta'ala, to make us conscious of Allah ta'ala, to get us to stop the disobedience of Allah ta'ala, the effort of da'wat and tabligh, the effort of the mashayikh, all the efforts, ta'aleem, tabligh, tazkiyah, it's all towards getting to the same end point and getting to the closeness of Allah ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. We should involve ourselves in all these amal and make the effort to make our islah, associate with the righteous and pious, attend the majalis that take place in our masajid, and take the advice of those whom we feel that compatibility with, some person who can guide us. We feel that person has that capability, that compatibility is there. We take him as our guide, as our murshid, and we take his advice, and we go through the paces. Inshallah, we'll get past the obstacles without difficulty, and we'll get to our goal with the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala bless us all with the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll have zikr for a few minutes, 2-3 minutes, inshallah, in dua. Said the Rush.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 La ilaha illallah, 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 La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah, Allahu jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu. Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathiran. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukr kulluhu. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين إله العالمين يا الله oh most merciful most gracious most kind most loving Allah يا الله forgive us يا الله يا الله forgive us يا الله يا الله forgive all our maidens and my innocents يا الله يا الله forgive the ummah of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم يا الله show your مغفرة to أمتي يا الله show your رحمة to أمتي يا الله Ilahul Alameen, grant us and the entire ummah the tawfiq of those amal that bring down your rahmat, Ya Allah. Save us and the entire ummah from such actions that bring azab, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, make us your loyal and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, bless us with the halawat of iman, Ya Allah. Bless us with the halawat of iman, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make your love the most beloved to us, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your mahabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with the love of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the amal of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the efforts of deen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Accept us, accept our progenies till Qiyamah. Ya Allah, for the khidmat of deen, with ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabuliyat, Ya Allah.
Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us a tawfiq, Ya Allah, of doing all that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from everything that displeases you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, put the hatred of sin in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the haram, Ya Allah. Save us from the haram, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, tonight in your house, Ya Allah, we're making tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we're making tawbah from all the evils and sins and vices, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, despite all your bounties, countless ni'mat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, eating all the ni'mat you blessed us with, Ya Allah. Enjoying all the ni'mat you gave us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we're so shameless, Ya Allah. We blatantly disobeyed you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our shamelessness, Ya Allah. Forgive our disobedience, Ya Allah. Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah, make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, make us the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Enable us to, Ya Allah, follow his Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamilah, atilah, mustabirra, da'imah. Remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, those in any difficulties and hardships, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Grant abundant halal and tayyib risk, Ya Allah. Filled with barakat. Allah, save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant afiyat to one and all, Ya Allah. Every Muslim, Ya Allah, on earth, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat in everyone's deen, Ya Allah. Everyone's dunya, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from all the trials and tribulations, Ya Allah. Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are in any suffering, pain, hardship, Ya Allah. Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat in every matter, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Our brothers and sisters in Palestine, Ya Allah. You shower your special rahmat on them, Ya Allah. You shower your special help on them, Ya Allah. Allah, you strengthen them, Ya Allah. Grant them victory, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them victory over their enemies, Ya Allah. Grant the enemy hidayat, Ya Allah. Allah, if hidayat is not decreed for them, Allah, you wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Allahumma zalzil aqdamahum. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, all the pious aspirations that each one has in their heart, Ya Allah. Allah, all those who have raised their hands to this dua, fulfill each one's pious aspiration, Ya Allah. All who asked us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. Allah, grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one afiyat in deen, afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our greatest need is to become yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah. Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.